Thank you. We are really fortunate to have brought a large number of our Florida collaborators with us. Over here, Maya, Emily, and Jane. We brought a little Florida weather, too. We hope you like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But we are kind of collaborating on a number of LENA-related projects, and it's been, a good exercise in collaboration because we each have our own passion or splinter areas and then work collaboratively across projects. So hopefully you'll see several of our posters next door. This particular topic is one that is very near and dear in that we were seeing in our location of Florida, we're near the Panhandle area, and around us is a very rural part of Florida, and we have a high proportion of migrant rural farm workers, and most of whom are Spanish-speaking at home, and their children enter special migrant ed programs at age 3, some of them appearing as though this is their first real immersion into English, because some of the communities stay pretty insular as well. And so it really struck us as an area where the families and children have limited resources, are disadvantaged based on what we know about from earlier research in their early language environment, and have on top of that this dual language piece to kind of navigate as they enter in preschool. And so at the same time, we are, as a nearby university, get a lot of referrals for bilingual evals as they enter into kindergarten, first and second grade, and we see kids who would have been identified much earlier had they been monolingual speakers. And so some of our families who really need support the most are the last to get it. And so we're feeling more passionate about finding or helping develop some progress monitoring options or tools that would help us identify kids who are likely to present with language learning disorders and catch them earlier. But as you can imagine, it's a really lofty task, because we would like to have very authentic, ecologically valid assessments as opposed to our traditional standardized tests for this group. And we would love to have tools that are culturally responsive and really capture some of that interplay as kids are code switching, some of them quite nicely, between languages. And so we think the LENA has great potential for meeting and adjusting to some of these shortfalls that we're seeing in our current traditional standardized test options for this population. The cultural bias nature of standardized tests is hard to adapt or modify. And with LENA, we're really getting much more of a snapshot than of their typical day, sometimes more than we want. We're hearing all kinds of things. And so it's been eye-opening for us and gets away from the need to try to find a translation equivalent across what's developmentally expected in one language or another. Some of our standardized tests are still really direct translations and lead to over and under identifying at best. So in this sample, it's a convenient sample in that we're using our neighboring communities, and it's not necessarily a typical Spanish-English speaking cohort, because there's also a very high incidence of poverty, right? And so we have 42 children who have at least one family member who is categorized as a migrant worker. That I'm emphasizing up front because this group likely represents other similarly light SES groups who may have dual language learning, and not necessarily a stratified sample of Spanish-English speakers. We compared that to 71 typically developing monolingual preschoolers. And as I mentioned, it's kind of part of a number of other projects that we're doing. And so those monolinguals are our college students who are enrolled in language development. They participate in a class project where they have to collect a full day sample. And so they're throughout Florida. Many of them go home to Tampa, Miami, and other places to gather it, but it's a great experience for them to also collect the demographic and developmental information, and then have so much more of a rich sample than what we used to do with a 30-minute bag of toys. So it's 71 in that I've only pulled the kids that match the age limits of the English language learners. So with us, it's exploratory in nature, and that we're just curious in terms of looking descriptively at their child vocalization counts, adult word count, and conversational terms to look for potential group differences between our monolingual cohort and our ELLs and some potential covariates. And so we looked, first just to give you a little bit more about each of those groups. There are 42, as I mentioned, and three years old fits the LENA very well. You're probably wondering why we started at three and went up so high, and it's because these kids are entering that migrant program not earlier than that, and so really our access to them begins when they start preschool, or at least our reliable access. They are children of at least one parent who's classified as a migrant farm worker, all eligible for free lunch, and Spanish was spoken in the home on average 78% of segments. That was not an inclusion criteria for us. It's that we wanted to know really who we were categorizing with this description. Are these kids who hear grandma or an extended family member use Spanish, or are these kids who are themselves using Spanish primarily at home? And so we systematically spliced and looked across those 5-minute units and then tallied percentage. How many had exclusively Spanish, how many had exclusively English, and how many had some of both. And kids do a lot of mixing as they're sort of doing some transfer. And so for these kids, just so you have an idea of who you might be representing, 59% of those segments were exclusively in Spanish across the day, and we'll get back to the different contexts that they're in. The ones that the segments for home are quite a bit different than their segments for school, but 19% had both English and Spanish in the segment, and 20% were exclusively in English. Family demographics for our Spanish-English speakers. Maternal ed is much lower than what you're going to see in our typically developing monolingual group. On average, when we ask their highest level of education, a high school diploma is really the highest that we're seeing. It was not unusual to see moms who finished fourth grade, third grade, sixth grade. And so this is not, this is very unlike our monolingual group that you'll see. Employment, primarily of Mexican descent, although there are three families from El Salvador. Most of the children were born in Florida. And as you can see, one reported exposure to another dialect as well. So monolingual comparison, again, we eliminated those that were so much younger that they might not be relevant. So 34 to 65 months, English spoken at home, no identified disabilities, and you can see we did not get a very, very nicely distributed sample by ethnic or racial background. And so the large majority, which you see in green, are white Caucasian families, black African American, Hispanic Latino, and Asian. So just to give you an idea of our comparison, I want you to keep that in mind. And this probably even more so when you look at our typicals, you see mom and dad's education, and almost half of them have a bachelor's degree. And so quite different in maternal and paternal education than what we saw on our ELLs. So although we it's good to get just some basic exploration of Spanish-English high poverty speakers, this is really dovetailing nicely on what we heard this morning in terms of Hart and Risley, and what we would expect to see perhaps with low SES output, in that the mean scores, and these are average hourly CVC, adult word count, and conversational turns because the duration of the samples varied. But they're all significantly different than the monolingual comparison group, and roughly, it's very gross, but roughly half as much, right, across the board. Proportionally, it's a little bit easier to see visually in that, oops, sorry, not very skilled with this remote. There we go. All right. So child vocalization, adult word count. For monolinguals, adult word count for ELLs are in green. Child vocalization counts are purple. And conversational turns. And so proportionally, it's like just scale down between, which is kind of, it adds some credibility that we're actually capturing the same kinds of things, but with less frequency than we see with our typically developing higher SES monolinguals. And so, of course, we were concerned about covariates, and with the ANCOVA, we could see that for conversational turns, there is a significant covariance in age, but the groups are not significantly different between our ELLs and monolinguals, so we see that same relationship for both. As we look at other potential factors that may influence differences, we were concerned about gender, but there was not a significant difference between males and females for any of the three. So conversational turns, about word count, and child vocalizations, very similar across gender. And one of the beautiful things about the conference and getting to hear other people's data and preliminary results, it helps me to hear about the Chicago 30 million word study, because this is hard for us to segment. Is this a Spanish issue or is this an SES issue? You can't really splinter those. And so when I heard about the Southside families, your mean scores, and I'm such a stalker, I jotted them down, your mean scores are nearly identical. You know, if we go back, I'm going to have them come back up and present me here in a minute. So we have their mean scores on pre, right, before your intervention, our kids look like mirror images of each other. So child vocalization counts on ours, the mean of 122, and on theirs before, interventions 125, even your standard deviations were so similar. It's like, wow. So adult word count, 784, and I think yours are 748. And conversational turns per hour, 23 on our migrant ELLs and 29 on theirs. So in looking across studies, it seems as though this is pretty typical maybe for norms for low maternal ed, low SES background. And it's a bit reassuring then that it isn't perhaps as much a Spanish influence on those CVC and adult word count measures. When we looked to try to splinter that within our database, it's really entangled with context or environment. And we're also hearing a lot of that today too, which is helpful for us. But the language use differed across the environments. And so kids, while they were at school, used a much lower percentage. I had better look over here, I don't know why. They used less Spanish use, so 38% of their segments at school compared to home. And so if we were just looking at average hourly counts, that wasn't splintering it by environment, if that makes sense. And the two would most likely just kind of level or wash each other out if it was truly a Spanish issue. And half the day they're speaking English, half the day they're speaking Spanish. And English use, as you can see, doubles at school by comparison. And so just to play that out, we did look to see if CVC differed across home and school, but at the same time, not really having norms yet for monolinguals and how much they would probably differ across home and school as well. And indeed they did, just to make matters more confusing. And so the total sample, if we just combine everyone and look at home and school segments, and I should say this is not the full 113 because they didn't all have home and school. So this is a subset. But across all, the home environment had higher CVCs than school, and that was true for both ELLs and monolinguals. And so there was a significant effect of environment, but it didn't affect the groups differentially. And so for all the kids, they had, for both groups of kids, they had higher mean CVC at home than at school. And the reason it's complicated is because that's also when they're speaking more English at school. So they're lower. I thought I was talking quickly. They're lower at school than we would want to see. So summary of environment, based on total sample, the environment did have a significant effect, but not differentially between the two groups. And from here, we are very encouraged by the robust findings of 30 million words and thinking, wow, these kids are starting at about the same place that they did. And so we have no reason to think that they wouldn't be just as responsive, perhaps, to intervention, and we might see some nice effects given a treatment experimental study. But we're still committed as well to gathering norms and following this cohort more longitudinally to see if we can predict some of those kindergarten through second grade language and literacy scores or concerns, and look more closely at that effect of maternal ed in order to really isolate it. We need a stratified group, and we have built some partnerships with Miami schools in hopes of getting that. Thank you.